Off the ball. This is News Talk.
Teams are coming back out for the second half. We're seeing Lionel Messi walking out Barcelona in their burgundy away to Chelsea's blue this evening. But I tell you what, Dan, I tell you what, it's no greatest league in the world. Let's just prop that up here for anybody who's streaming us on Facebook Live. The greatest league in the world.
There you
Pre-league
go.
Pre-league kicking off program, which I'm told is very good.
Yeah, I've
both the league and the program.
I haven't got the way through the whole thing, but
this greatest league in the world business, it started last year.
That's gone back a couple of years.
Long time.
It's gone back a couple of years. I mean, it's pretty ironic a lot of the times. It's more so to reflect the sort of quirky and unusual things that can happen in the league that mightn't happen elsewhere.
Yeah.
But the FAI have now managed to adopt it as some kind of marketing tool themselves.
You know what?
Even though they probably have delivered several of the greatest league in the world moments themselves inadvertently.
Wow.
You know,
I like it, I have to say. And do you know what? Am I right here in saying that I feel like the mood around the league is as positive as it's been in some time?
Yeah, I think so. I'm always hesitant to declare that as such because you always feel like what's that sort of line about the pat the back being close to a kick in the arse? There is an element of that with the league sometimes.
Yeah.
But I feel a bit of that. I mean, the crowds were good at the weekend. I think sort of an average 3,000 across the five games. You know, Bowes Rovers was sold out, so they could have sold way more. I was down at Pat's in Cork City. I think Pat's got a bigger crowd last Friday than it did for any game last season. And I think Sligo had a very good crowd as well. Unfortunately, both those teams lost at home, so the challenge is
Pat's crowd got five goals in a lively game.
Yeah, so. And I mean, there was a substantial away support from Cork too, who are the team of the moment.
Yeah.
But there is some good storylines and there is a mood of positivity. And even the two teams that you would have been very fearful for this year due to problems they've had would have been Bray and Limerick, and they both started off with good away results, so you would hope that, you know, that would be rewarded with good turnouts for their games at the weekend. I mean, Cork are home this weekend, Shamrock Rovers versus Dundalk. The crowds will be good again this weekend just because of the way the fixtures fall.
Well, I think that's no harm
keeping them
going. If the fixture didn't fall that way accidentally, I think there is no harm in the league making sure that the first few weeks are appetising and get people into the habit of going.
Definitely. And
the results, by the way, I should mention.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Bowes in that sellout, which admittedly was about 3,600, given
they're very restricted. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was still a sellout, which is good. Bohemians beat Shamrock Rovers by 3-1, so they're top of the table, early doors on goal difference.
Mm.
Pats 2, Cork City 3, which you were at. We'll talk about that in a second. Dundalk and Bray nil all, interestingly, and you mentioned Bray there. Waterford 2, Derry City 1, and Sligo lost at home to Limerick. We'll come on to Bowes Rovers in just a second. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that game.
I did. I watched it back. I mean, unfortunately, I mean, it was the TV game. It wasn't a great game, but I mean, you need to have the self-confidence to be able to say that wasn't a good game and not lead that into a crisis. You know,
there's
bad games everywhere in every code and every format, and it wasn't a particularly good one, but it still ended up delivering a pretty epic storyline with Bowes getting three goals in, 16 minutes to win it.
Yeah.
But, Pats and Cork was the game I was at. I suppose it's the one I'd be more on top of.
Why did you choose that game?
There was a division of forces, you know, between myself, you know, in independent sort of towers. You know, there was two big games in Dublin, so we had Aidan Fitzmaurice who went to the other one.
Are you referring to yourself and Aidan as forces?
Well, forces, I mean, force could be a strong term. Division of resources.
Would you say you're a force of nature?
No, resource of nature.
Okay.
The champions as well. I mean, often, you know, the opening night thing to do is check out the champions in many ways, because they're the ones to be shot at. And I think possibly what the Bowes Rovers game probably showed is that come the end of the season, you know, Cork are more likely to be in the title race than Shamrock Rovers are. But Cork were okay in a very dramatic game where they played for, you know, they went 2-0 up and then got reduced to 10 men in the 25th minute.
Cummins
got pulled back to 2-2, and you're thinking this is only going to go one way, and yet they nicked it. And this is that sort of...
It was a strange goal to nick it.
It was a poor... The goalkeeper slipped. It was a bad one.
From a corner.
Yeah, straight from a corner. There was a bit of a block and Barry Murphy lost his footing. And, I mean, Liam Buckley, some past manager, was sick afterwards. And, you know, he was certainly not shy to express his belief that Cork were very, very lucky that they created nothing in the second half. And I guess they hadn't. But I still ended up being impressed by the manner in which the game was running away from them. With an hour gone, it was 2-2, and I thought they're done.
Mm.
And yet they were able to make a couple of changes. They brought Garrard Morrissey, midfielder, off the bench, And even though they weren't ever going to, it looked like they were ever going to win the game, they got to this stage where you thought, well, at least they're not going to lose it.
Okay.
And they had this quality of steadying the ship and riding the storm and just, you know, they basically, to be in simple terms, they got themselves around 10, 15 yards further up the park. And from that, they managed to win a corner and they got their luck, I guess. But they put themselves in that position. And when they keep doing it, it's not luck. You know,
was there anything on the night to suggest that St. Pat's won't spend another season frustrating their fans?
It was a strange one because they have this reputation of being a team that plays good football, but they don't always see it out, I guess. And you could say that the game sort of fell in line with that. But no, I wouldn't be totally dismissive. They were missing Christy Fagan, their main striker, and they ended up playing Ian Turner up front, who's basically a defender / winger. So in fairness, they actually, even when they went 2-0 behind, they'd had chances, but they lacked a real focal point. But I mean, for people who want to go to watch a team, I mean, they've got Owen Garvin there, his first full season in Ireland, who was playing championship football at Ipswich at 17 and, you know, had a good career in England for 10-11 years, probably a bit of unfulfilled potential, but he's now fit after an off season with Killian Brennan there, two very good, almost strolling around like quarterbacks at time, you know, picking their passes. So they're a good side to watch, but they probably just where they're going to get that, albeit they scored twice in the night, but where the goal's going to come from to match the general play. They weren't incisive enough, and actually it was Cork mistakes really that helped them back into the game. But it was an interesting game. It was competitive, and I think that in the broader sense of the word, and where we are this year with the league, it's a 10 team league, not a 12 team league, and there's probably been a certain amount of quality condensed into those 10 teams because, you know, players from the relegated clubs have almost been spread around. And okay, I still feel there's going to be a clear hierarchy, but I'm not sure if there's going to be any like bad teams in there really. And I think what we've seen is a really competitive game. I mean, I think Cork last year didn't concede two goals in any league game until September or something like that, you know, and they've conceded that on the opening night. So, you know, Dundalk were held by Bray. I think we're going to see some good contest this year, even if I still feel the natural order may end up relatively unchanged come the end of it.
Okay. And relegated players aside, who've dispersed around the Premier Division now, in previous years, we've seen a huge number of one-year contracts, one-season contracts, and massive numbers of players joining the club and leaving the club. The who's in, who's out list would be quite extensive.
Yeah, substantial, yeah.
Yeah. Have things stabilised? Are we seeing similar squads to previous years, or is that big exodus and huge numbers of arrivals with teams happened again?
No, it's definitely slowed down. I still think the nature of the league means that there's probably always going to be a fair bit more comings and goings.
The nature of the league is in.
Well, I think just that there's going to be the top teams are now offering 52-week deals and full-time contracts. You know, teams further down are still not really able to go down that route. There's one-year arrangements. And also, if you're a good side, you're possibly going to lose a couple of players to England, so you naturally have to, you know, regenerate a bit. Yeah. But it's definitely slowed down. And, I mean, you know, Dundalk have signed players, and well, one particular player, Sean Gannon, on a three-year contract, several on a two. Cork now signing players on two. I think the top clubs, if they're making a real effort for a player now, they're going to sign them on 2-3 year deals.
Is this thing just fairly, is this the whole thing, whatever bit what the FAI might be doing or not doing, is there an inevitability here that this thing will go up and down with the economy?
A small bit, but also I think what's happened as well is that the money from UEFA has gone nuts. You know, UEFA basically, we watch a Champions League game like this tonight, you know, this is the elite, and it's becoming increasingly inaccessible for teams from smaller leagues. But the way in which UEFA have tried to soften the blow, and there's political capital in it, is by increasing the money that's offered to clubs in these early rounds in the summer that, you know, are almost just of interest to clubs in those rounds. Yeah. So the money is huge. Like, people talk about, you know, Shelburne back in the day and, you know, the great run they had to play Deportivo La Coruña and so on, and, you know, European runs around that time where clubs would go through four rounds and they'd get a couple of hundred grand. Now you get that for being in Europe. You know, so the wage bills haven't gone mad, but there's a dominance of Dundalk, Cork, Shamrock Rovers that they're getting European money every year, and as a result it's making it easier for them to run sustainable business. There is an element of the economy with it, but I think the main factor has been more so stability for the top clubs and European money propping them up.
The 10-team league and teams playing each other four times a season now means we've some hectic weeks, like Dundalk, who I want to ask you about.
Well, everyone has them.
Drew nil all. But for instance, they've Shamrock Rovers on Friday, Limerick City Tuesday, and go again with Derry City on Friday. Yeah. So that would be tough. They had the flu in the build-up to this nil-all draw with Bray. Stephen Kenny said he didn't want to use that as an excuse. He talked about being disappointed with the lack of creativity. How is that Dundalk squad shaping up? Because I feel sorry for Stephen Kenny when he has to watch good player after good player leave.
Well, it's funny the point you mentioned about stability and the players coming and going. I think what's happened with Dundalk is, and it sounds like excuse making to talk about it, but they certainly were a couple of weeks behind with this whole takeover deal going slow. That really uncharacteristic things. Like the Cork City team that played last week was all... they've all been there and signed early, and there hasn't been much late business going on. Dundalk, by contrast, like they drew it all with Bray. This guy Sam Byrne, who they signed from Everton, who's come home from Everton, like he was signed on a Thursday and was brought off the bench on a Friday. They were throwing players in.
Fair enough.
And I just think they're in danger here. The Cork got their business done early. Dundalk didn't. They're still trying to sign their main striker now. They're being linked with a Nigerian-Italian fella.
Yeah.
Like they're not there yet in terms of their squad, whereas Cork are. And I think they're in danger of starting slowly and leaving themselves in a bit of bother.
And we're fresh off a season where that happened last year and Cork were never going to be caught.
And that is, I mean, Cork have this... They have made changes to their squad, but they made the business. They got the business done early. The new players have slotted in. They all know the league.
Yeah.
And the rest of the pack just want to be careful.
Yeah.
The Cork don't just get on that, because they definitely are the most settled of they've had changes, but the Dundalk just seem to be signing players, you know, and trying to find their way. And I mean, you mentioned about the fixture schedule. It's a 36 game league. The 23 games in the league are done by the mid season break in June. You know, a quarter of the league is over by the end of March. There is no break now.
Okay.
And the team that's carrying a few issues and is struggling to get into gear is they're going to leave themselves in trouble. And that's why Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk this week is already a pretty interesting game because of that fact.
Yeah, Friday. Do those Tuesday night games get good attendances?
No, that's the problem. I mean, this is where attendance has struggled, the midweek rounds. And I feel sometimes the midweek rounds could be more creatively put into the calendar, certain bank holidays maybe and stuff like that. But yeah, no, there's several midweek, I think there's five midweek rounds this year, and they're into the next couple of weeks, and you hope they don't clash with Champions League and so on, but invariably sometimes they will, and that is definitely, that's where the crowd averages get brought down a bit.
Okay, and where is the force of nature that is Dan McDonald going this week?
The force/resource of nature will be the Shamrock Rovers and Dock game, which is
good.
The main game, I think, on Friday.
Okay, we'll talk about that next week. Still nil all at Stamford Bridge. On the football show, Graeme Hunter is joining us at full time. He sure is. Graeme Hunter is watching this game. He will talk to us just after 9:30. And in the next 10 minutes or so, Noel Hunt, who plays for Wigan and was there last night for their remarkable win over Manchester City, will take a call.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter @OffTheBall.
News Talk 106 to 108.